we make podcasts. We watch movie, best movie ever made, Disaster Artist, my great movie. I love it. How you do?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Why you make fun of me, Hama? You're tearing me apart!
Good Lord. Oh, man, this movie is so different.
It's a great movie. Best movie ever made. My movie. Great.
It's like, oh, God, I can't remember Tommy Wiseau's voice anymore.
Hama, what are you doing?
I was like, why you do this? I'm not from Europe. I'm from the South.
I'm from New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's it.
New Orleans. All right. So, hello and welcome to a belated episode 361 of Sprig and Ziggy Combat.
My hammer.
And this is our...
Month in Geek?
Well, I was going to say our quarantined week in Geek.
Yeah.
So we obviously had to take some time off. Hammer got the vids. We'll talk about that a little bit if he wants to. It's his kind of personal medical thing, but we'll talk about that if we need to. So we took some time off, but we did watch The Disaster Artist, which was the story of how The Room got made by James Franco and his brother, the other Franco. I can't think of that Franco's name.
Is it Dave Franco?
Yes, Dave Franco. There you go. With cameos by, the typical, like, Seth Rogen, the girl from 40-Year-Old Virgin, the Asian girl. I can't think of her name right now. But, yeah.
Alison Brie's in there, which is Dave Franco's wife?
Who was in there?
Alison Brie.
Is he married to her?
Yeah, I think so.
Fuck that. Anyway, so we are remote on location, so this might sound a little weird. This isn't a permanent thing. This is just kind of Hammer's kind of over the vids, but we want to give it another week just to really make sure everything's good because I'm kind of in a high risk household.
Mm-hmm.
So we did watch The Disaster Artist, which tells of the story of how The Room, which was like the worst movie ever made, essentially was made. And from watching this movie, I really want to watch The Room now. I've not been able to see it. And so I almost feel like I don't want to watch it by myself. Like I want to experience it like my first time with a group. So I haven't gone into watching it by myself. Basically, this is kind of it's almost a mockumentary, where they talk about how nobody knows how Tommy Wiseau made his money, how old he is. Like, they know nothing about him other than he financed and made a movie that everybody seems to hate, but they love it so much because they hate it.
Yeah, that's pretty appropriate and pretty apt description of it all.
It's, good.
I say I also haven't seen the movie. In fact, the only way I saw it, or I know of it, is because a bunch of friends at a Comic-Con had the soundboard and just kept on playing different parts of the movie to me.
I thought you've seen it.
No, I've never seen The Room.
Oh,
I really want to.
Yeah, we got
to
get.
But like you said, I want to see it in a group, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Oh yeah, no kidding, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end, during the credits, you kind of get like a shot by shot of The Disaster Artist and then The Room and the scenes that they were doing together, and they look so they did a really good job of making it look like the movie that they were portraying.
Yeah, they do the side-by-side comparison at the end, and it's a little crazy.
Yeah, it's good. I actually did really like this movie, and it really made me want to watch The Room. And I think I would have more respect for it after I've seen The Room, but I did like it, and I do recommend this one.
This one also kind of surprised me because it was hard to watch. There's definitely parts where I was like a little exhausted, and it's really awkward.
Oh, it's very awkward.
But and it portrays how awkward it must have been on site doing the actual filming. But seeing it at the end where they talk about how it's not as much making fun of the room, but like you said, it's kind of a mockumentary of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fascinating. At the end, they do the side-by-side with the scenes, and it made me absolutely want to watch the movie to see just what the fuck they were doing.
Right. Yeah, it's... I'm just fascinated by it, and I've met Tommy Wiseau, like, briefly on a passing at LA Comic Con, and I was like, holy shit, it's him. But I hadn't even seen The Disaster Artist at this point, so, like, I didn't know what was going on. He doesn't seem like a cool dude, though.
He seems like kind of an asshole?
Yeah, he seems like a super mega mega asshole.
That seems appropriate.
But I'm still going to recommend this. I did really like the movie.
No, I would definitely recommend it as well. It's fucking weird.
Very weird.
And it's not at all what I expected. But it was surprising, and it gets me wanting to see the original. Sorry, I'm hearing my own echo, so it's a little freaking weird. So if you ever wonder why I'm tripping over my own voice, that's why.
Yeah, because you don't do it.
Not because I'm drunk.
You don't do it normally.
No, not at all. But yes, I would definitely recommend to see the movie as well.
Yeah. All right, so for this week's streaming review, it's going to be brought to us by Hammer.
Yes, we're going to watch something that we both talked about, Uncut Gems.
Oh, yes. Okay, cool.
This is the Adam Sandler movie that a lot of people, including the Hetero Life Mate, has talked so much about. And I'm really curious to see Adam Sandler act.
I mean, he was really good in Punch Drunk Love, but that was like 20 years ago.
I've never seen it, but I've always heard about it.
It's not good. He's good, if that makes sense.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Like, he puts on a good performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to be watching that. I watched a bit of the trailer, and I'm curious. It doesn't look like my kind of movie, but I'm super open to just try something different, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that sounds good. So, if you have anything else to watch, you want us to watch on HBO Go, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, let us know at battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, Spreading the Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I am at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Creme Kalis, and you can like us, love us, and share us when we are not dying on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher.
No kidding, right?
No, I forget about that.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into this week's nerd news. I guess the first thing we're going to do is, do you want to talk about the COVID?
Sure.
Since you actually are one of the ones that have contracted the disease.
Yes. So I guess to start off, I had a very light case of it. I had like a week of hell. I had like 2 days intermittently of fever. Couldn't focus. Had a migraine one day. And then I was just flat on my back for the rest, like a couple days afterwards. Mm-hmm. It felt like just like the flu. And I hate trying to give credence to people who say, oh, it's just another flu. But you get a lot of the same symptoms.
Right.
Where you just have body ache, nausea.
Because coronavirus is the flu virus.
Yes.
So that's nothing new. It's COVID-19 that's different. But the coronavirus.
Correct. So that's like the part where people are saying, oh, it's just like the flu. And I'm like, yeah. Calm your tits.
Or like, you had coronavirus before because you had the flu. And it's, yes, you've
had coronavirus. Yeah.
But not COVID-19. It's just like if you get skin cancer, you're like, well, you've had brain cancer. It's like, no. They're different types of cancer.
Yeah. No, I haven't had cancer. Thank God, I don't need any more things for 2020. But the thing is, I thought it was just the flu. I got myself tested when I could actually function, which was like on a Friday. All this started on a Tuesday. And they did the throat swab, which is not intrusive. as the nose swab, which like pokes your brain.
Oh, you did, so you did the easier of the two swabs.
Yes, and apparently I'm not supposed to do that one anymore. But my wife was getting sick shortly after me, so she got hers the following week, and she did the nose swab, and it was. She said it sucked.
I mean, I don't doubt it.
But I thought I didn't have COVID, but I just wanted to be certain. And then it was like Friday night, Saturday morning. I realized I was eating like Sour Patch candies because I just wanted to have something sweet. And I realized I couldn't taste anything. Like, I knew I was eating something. I knew it was chewy, but I couldn't taste a damn thing.
Which is...
Something's wrong. It freaked me out.
Especially a Sour Patch Kid, essentially.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought was. And then the following day, we ordered, like, Raising Cane's because I was actually hungry. I was only eating oatmeal and drinking tea because that's all I could really stomach. So I didn't really get much experience with weird flavors. I tried Raising Cane's, and it was the most disappointing taste I could ever imagine. It was like antiseptic, burnt plastic, and soap.
Ew.
Everything tasted like that. But yeah, like I had a week. It was really rough. I couldn't leave, couldn't really get up out of bed, frequently just passing out. Jackie said she left and I was watching National Geographic. And I guess I changed positions a bunch, but she never saw me with my eyes open. Yeah. And then I got my results 3 days later, said I was positive, which I was pretty sure after I lost the sense of taste. And then just been staying home. Had a lot of people dropping off groceries, saying hello from the curbside, but not really leaving. And yeah, there was a few points where I couldn't drink water and my fever wouldn't go down even when I was in a shower, that I got freaked out that I was going to get brain damage because I'm a hypochondriac sometimes. And Jackie even questioned if she should take me in because my temperature was sitting at like 101.6, which is like low to medium grade. Nothing too crazy, but nothing great.
I mean, that's high, though. You don't want that.
Yeah, and I was sitting at that for a while, even in the shower, and I just couldn't go down. But yeah, I'm feeling much better now, and I was looking at our podcast. It was about 19 days ago, so it's been close to almost 3 weeks.
Wow.
We're outside of our quarantine, but we're still kind of keeping close to ourselves.
Yep, which makes sense.
Jackie's outside of hers. But yeah. I'm thankful we didn't have a heavier case.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. You definitely don't want a heavier case.
Yeah. I did have a conversation with one of my friends about how I went on Facebook and I read the comment section and I almost wanted to post that I had COVID so people could tell me that I'm lying and I'm making it up just so I could just rail on them. Mm-hmm. Right. But I thought better of it and I just kind of kept myself quiet because I didn't want a lot of questions and honestly looking at the screen too long made me dizzy, so.
No, I mean, I get that. Not wanting to talk to somebody. I mean, I get that completely.
Yeah. But you're really sweet and thank you for asking if you could post about it. By that point, I was definitely over it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's your medical stuff. I don't want to.
No.
I don't want to be like, look what's happening, yeah. You know.
So funny thing is, I told Jackie, I realized how many people either followed our Facebook page or saw your post about it. So thank you.
Well, people care, man. We all care.
Yeah. Josh the Gray said he's going to listen to the podcast again. But not for you.
Oh, well, I mean, that's fine. I don't care. He hates me anyway, because I'm always right.
Yeah. That's love.
He's always wrong. So I get it. Like, it's tough to be wrong all the time and have somebody that's, you know, that's right and just kind of have to deal with it.
I'm going to give you your soapbox. Here you go.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to some happier news where we talk about the nerd news.
Yes.
We are remote and my phone is kind of being dumb. Hammer's going to drive this episode, so we're going to see what happens here.
Hold on to your butts. The first one we have is Cyberpunk 2077 delayed again to November 19th.
I mean, this doesn't surprise me, I guess.
I'm okay with it. I guess I'm not super looking forward to Cyberpunk.
No, like
but I do want to play it.
I liked Witcher, but I still haven't really like played or beat Witcher. If that makes sense. Like I played it once, and I was like, I've been playing. I'm like, yeah, this is good. I can see why people love it, but I can't. Like I haven't gotten into it. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean. I started up Witcher 3, and that's about it.
Yeah, like I started it up, but I haven't done anything to it, other than kind of start it once.
Yeah, I think about it as like the terms of Fallout and Oblivion. I'm always more excited about Fallout than I am about Oblivion, but the likelihood of me playing either is pretty low. Mm-hmm. So I think about Cyberpunk as their counter to Witcher. Witcher is the fantasy one, and Cyberpunk's that futuristic or sci-fi one.
Right.
Both look cool. Don't know if I'm going to play them.
I know, like, I want to play Cyberpunk, but I also don't know if I'm going to play Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I think that's a really close to the way I feel.
Like, I know I want to, but I don't know if I'm going to have the time to actually do it. And I feel like that's a game that you have to invest in, and I don't know if I have the time to invest in a big game like that.
That makes a lot of sense, though. Because Witcher is... Fuck, I don't know how long that is.
Witcher's, I guess, like 100 hours if you do... You know, you can... You can make it less if you want to, but there's a whole lot of shit to do in Witcher.
Yeah, and I feel that same way about time. I think about Last of Us 2.
Which we're going to talk about.
Which we're going to talk to, but I'm like, it feels like a long game, but when I'm done with it, I'm like, okay, that was enough time.
Yeah, I mean, it is a long game.
But I don't know if I can do 100 hours.
Yeah, I don't have time for... I don't think I have time for something that time intensive.
Yeah. So, next up, we have Crash Bandicoot 4.
This was kind of interesting. Of like, hey, they're actually going to do it.
It's still weird to realize that Crash Bandicoot isn't done by Naughty Dog. It's done by Activision now.
Right.
Because didn't they make a joke about it? Oh, wait, maybe that's spoilers.
Crash Bandicoot was in Uncharted 4.
Okay.
Where you could play it on a PS1 in Nate's and Elena's house.
Oh, okay. Do you have a love for Crash Bandicoot?
No, I loved the first one, but only because I was playing the first one, I guess you could say. Like, it was one of the few games on PlayStation that I had. So my love for it is so much of just like, yeah, I really like playing this game because it was the game that I had. But I wasn't like, oh my god, it's Crash Bandicoot. You know, just like, alright, cool. It's Crash Bandicoot.
It was also one of the first 3D platforms?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was, I don't know if this is before Mario 64 or not.
Before, because PlayStation was before the 64 because they did they did Super Nintendo, and then N64 was next, but they couldn't, like, the whole reason that PlayStation got Final Fantasy was because Final Fantasy 7 was on disc.
Yeah. I just remember how cool it looked, but I never played anything besides Crash Team Racing.
Oh, wow.
Which I loved because it was a four-player, if you had the multi-tap, mm-hmm. It was a four-player kart game on PlayStation.
Yeah, I didn't even play Crash Team Racing. Like, I never really got into Crash much. I played the first one a lot because that was one of the, you know, I didn't have a job at the time, so that was one of the few PlayStation games that I had. There was not much I could do.
It's funny, that's what my demo disc was for me.
Yeah,
you've talked. Like, I had a PlayStation, and my mom got me, I think, two games or one game, and it was a, not Eternal Ring, Evergrace. Terrible game.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a demo disc for that had Dynasty Warriors 2 on it, and I played that more than the actual game I got.
Yeah, it was one of those games that you could play over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So something that's near and dear to your heart, Cobra Kai is coming to Netflix.
Which makes sense that, I mean, I wouldn't say it's near and dear to my heart because I haven't even watched Cobra Kai yet.
But you've been wanting to watch it.
I have been wanting to watch it. I just haven't, hit up YouTube to watch it. Even though it's free, I could do it at any point. I just haven't done it. So now Netflix is kind of getting out of the, or I'm sorry, not Netflix, YouTube is getting out of the TV thing, and they're going to move Cobra Kai to Netflix.
Yeah, and they're also, what is it, they have like the canned third season?
I'm not sure if they finished it or not. I know they're under contract, but like, you know, the whole world's in flux at the moment, so we don't know what's happening with anything.
Well, that's the thing that I thought was really interesting when I read about this, is that there's going to be there's going to be a period of time where there's going to be no new TV.
We're getting there.
So that anything that is already produced is almost like worth gold. Which means we may not see the highest quality, but maybe we see some interesting stuff that normally might not pop out.
I mean, we're even getting to the point where reality TV, which is one of the easier things to produce, we're not going to have new episodes of.
Oh, yeah. Like, Netflix has been popping out a bunch of really trashy reality TV, like Too Hot to Handle, God, There's a Love One, The Circle.
Yeah, The Circle. Wow.
Dude, Too Hot to Handle is terrible trash.
Is it?
Oh, it's wonderful. If you need to shut your brain off,
yeah,
go for that.
I haven't watched any of the Netflix stuff, so like I don't know what they've produced, basically.
You're not really missing much.
Yeah, I don't feel like I am.
Plus, I feel like you have a big list of shows and stuff that you want to watch
right.
That you don't need to waste time on terrible crap.
And we'll talk about... I finished Gotham, and we'll talk about that a little
bit. Oh, terrible crap.
A little bit later.
Next up is Disney actually making some decently good choices. Disney is going to be rebranding Splash Mountain to be Princess and the Frog.
This is interesting. So now, you know, Splash Mountain, which is always closed, is now going to be Princess and the Frog, which is going to always be closed. So it's like I'm not going to get to ride that ride either, which is going to be fun.
So you are a much bigger Disney-going person than I am. Like, it's like once in a blue moon for where I need to go.
No, it's every year for us, if not multiple times a year.
Is it really closed that often?
We don't go to Disneyland because, you know, we can't.
So how do you feel about this, though?
So out of the amount of times that we've been to Disneyland, which is a lot, we've been able to ride Splash Mountain once. It is always broken down every time we go.
So, actually, I have a completely good side question. do you think Disney's actually doing maintenance on all the rides, like the Indiana Jones one?
Right.
Since they haven't had anybody there?
Dude, they should have just, like, redid everything.
Yeah.
Done as much as humanly possible, because, like, nobody's there. You don't have to worry about shutting anything down. You don't have to worry about getting
inconvenience people
as fast as possible. You know?
Sorry about the random noises.
That's all right.
I'm how this. I think it's great just because Princess and Frog is only represented by Tiana in the French Quarter.
And Dr. Facilier is there.
Yes. I couldn't remember his name.
That's fine.
But it's kind of cool to see at least that one represented, because that's the last actually animated Disney movie.
No.
Yeah. Everything else has been CG.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay.
Like, but I mean, that was the one that was supposed to kick or re-kick off them doing animated movies, but they haven't done any since. But yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I've, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, just because it's always closed.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know it was always closed.
Dude, it's always.
I only see the pictures.
It's always, always closed.
I think what I'm curious more than anything is just how they're going to rebrand and re-theme everything around it. Yeah. I hope it's not just like a quick slap job.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they do with this. And how they... You're not going to be able to change it much, but I think they'll be able to change it enough.
Yeah. We're Disney, or we're Disney fans, we're used to just enough.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Disney Plus. That's not even enough.
No, Disney Plus is fucking lame.
Trash.
But they got Hamilton, which everybody loves.
Hey, they gave me at least a reason to turn them on.
Yeah, I haven't... That was the last time that we've turned... Or the first time we've turned on Disney Plus in a long time.
Yeah, that was the same for us, I think. That is all the news that I have pulled up for us, besides The Last of Us... Two, but also I know that they did move Phoenix Fan Fest.
Yes.
Or Fan Fusion.
Let's see. Phoenix Fan Fusion was canceled this year.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker. So there'll be no Comic
Con
2020. I know, like, since we've been Salt Lake, we're part of their group as well, and Salt Lake sent out a page of like, hey guys, as of right now, Salt Lake Comic Con is still going on. But the odds are we might cancel it, but it's still going on, so we'll keep it posted. So literally, they sent nothing out, you know, because, like, all they're doing is speculating what everybody else is speculating.
So they just basically took an opportunity to say, look at us?
Kinda, of like, we're still here, but we're probably not going to be here, but we're still here.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I mean, really, do we expect anything to happen this year?
No, this is a completely lost year, which is depressing.
Mm-hmm.
What about some free shit, good shit? I know that, can you pull that up?
Yes, hold on a second, I'll have you talk. I'm going to mute myself so you don't hear my keyboard typing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, I believe there's NBA 2K20? Maybe it's 19, like, I can't remember which one is coming in, but I know one of them is NBA 2K, and there was I think it's Shadow of the Tomb Raider, or maybe Rise of the one of the Tomb Raiders is on there for PS4, and then Xbox is they're rough. I don't know what they're doing with their Xbox Live, because if I was mainly an Xbox player, I would be extremely angry. Because
yeah,
they're not like basically anything anymore, it feels like.
So, Xbox had WRC8, Feel World, it's a racing game.
Yeah, okay.
Dunk Lords, Xbox One. Saints Row 2 on Xbox 360. And Juju on 360.
What is Juju?
I have no freaking clue. And then for Plus, you gotta write NBA 2K20, Rise of Tomb Raider, 20 year celebration, and a free bonus game of Erica.
That's right, Erica. That's right. I've actually wanted to play Erica. I've heard Erica's really good.
Really? Okay. So. I didn't hear anything about it, so I was like, meh.
No, I've heard Erica is really good, so I've been wanting to give Erica a shot.
I mean, if you haven't played Rise of the Tomb Raider, that is a fucking amazing game.
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't... But this is the PS4 version, right? Because they gave out Rise of the Tomb Raider for PS3 before.
So correct.
The PS4, which is like the complete edition, which has the DLC stuff with it as well.
Is it Rise of the Tomb Raider the second one?
Yeah.
So that one was done... That was only Xbox and PS4... But it was exclusive for Xbox One. And so we got, like, the definitive edition when it came to PS4.
The first one was... What was the first
one? First one was just Tomb Raider.
So
I want to say.
That was the one that was exclusive to Xbox. Or was
No, Rise of the Tomb Raider was the one that was exclusive. The Tomb Raider, which is the one that was available on both.
But the first two are amazing.
They're fucking fantastic. The third game...
The third one is...
It'd be great if it existed.
Is something. I would like to see what they could do with a third game, but...
Maybe we'll never know.
Yeah, sadly.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
So one of the things that I was talking about is I finally finished Gotham. Man. So that's a show. Yeah, it's not good, but the series finale made me want more Gotham, and it pisses me off, because they gave a lot of Batman stuff. It was really good the way it comes in 10 years later. So Bruce comes back, for the first time in 10 years, and he's Batman at this point. And so they just throw down a whole lot of Batman info, and you're like, this was really good. Why didn't you could have done more with this. So it really made me want more of the TV show, but that ain't gonna happen.
So was the entire episode dedicated to that, or was it just like the last 10 seconds, so 10 minutes?
So the entire episode was dedicated to 10 years later, and Bruce was coming back. They were opening a new Wayne Tower, I think, or something along those lines, and he was coming back for the first time in 10 years. And they were making a big deal of it, and Batman is around, basically solving crime and stuff, but people haven't put together two and two because Batman and Bruce Wayne are the same person, thing. I really liked the series finale more than what they had given for the series.
It sucks that the ending almost justified all the pain, but not really at all.
Yeah, like, you had me at hello, guys. You had me at hello.
If only you could have kept on going.
Yeah,
started from there.
If you had started with greatness, you could have had more greatness. But instead, you gave me junk. And like, I can't recommend Gotham, but if you're... like me kind of pushing through it, I really did like the series finale a lot.
I'm glad at least they gave you something.
Yeah, it ended on a high note for me, I feel.
I've also been watching a lot.
Gee, I wonder why.
Exactly. something I watched that I really think you would like, but I don't know if you'll ever get a chance to watch it. Okay. It's called For All Mankind. It's one of the Apple Plus shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm definitely not watching it on Apple Plus. But the idea is it's a alternate history where the Russians landed on the moon first.
Mm.
And America kind of has to pick themselves up again. And rather than having the Apollo mission stop at, like, what was it? It was 13, 14, the last one?
I think 14. Maybe it was 17. But they stopped landing on the moon.
So instead of them stopping landing on the moon, it actually almost reinvigorates the space race. It causes them to go to like Apollo, at least I'm up to 22, then to land a moon base. It talks about the Russians landing, always basically being one step ahead of the United States. And it's actually really intriguing. The acting's really good. It has the guy who was in Altered Carbon and Suicide Squad.
Oh, shit. He played the
love. You know him, though.
Yeah, he played the... is it McMillan or something like that?
I don't remember.
No, I know who you're talking about, but he played the love interest for The Witch.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's like one of the main actors in there. I can't remember what he plays, but it's honestly, it's fascinating. The acting's really good. The graphics are really good. And the writing is really fun. I think I have like 2 or 3 more episodes left, and I would definitely sign on for season 2.
Okay.
So if you have Apple Plus, give it a shot. If it fell off the back of a wagon or a truck, definitely give it a shot.
I know that I really think I'm going to hit The Boys up here shortly.
Season 2 is starting in September?
Yeah, something like that.
I can't wait. Because we have that, and we also have Umbrella Academy Season 2 is starting up soon.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of shows that are coming back because they were basically done, but then this is kind of the last run for a long time.
I know. It's going to be really weird. I'm a little terrified that the only new programming will be the news.
Yeah, because the news is...
Yeah. It's poorly written.
The news is something, man. The news
is... It is. So did you want to talk about Last of Us 2?
I do, but let's get to the pod question.
Yes.
And then, yeah, we'll definitely talk about Last of Us Part 2.
Go ahead. It was my question about asking what was the most inspirational or illuminating, I threw a lot of words at you, movie that you've seen.
Yeah, you just made up a bunch of stuff.
I did.
We did get an answer from TK, and he went with Fight Club. And he gave a bunch of reasons, but my phone isn't letting me check my messages right now, so I can't give all the reasons that he gave, but he gave a bunch of reasons, so he went with Fight Club.
Yeah, that's good.
For me, I went with American History X. The first time I saw that with my brother, and at the end, we just sat there, and we were like, holy shit, and we didn't move for a good 5 or 10 minutes. I'm just like, holy shit. I didn't expect what I got out of this movie. This is amazing. And I love Edward Norton's acting. Like the whole premise of the plot and everything and the story behind the characters is oddly even more important now. But yeah, that's the American History X was a movie that really kind of hit me. That I didn't expect to be as good as it was.
So that movie, fuck, that's intense.
Oh yeah, that movie is camping.
Yeah. Love you, man. yeah, that one hit me like a freaking freight train the first time I saw it, and I didn't expect any of that. But that's an exhausting movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, very much so.
Mine was Big Fish.
Interesting. You love Big Fish.
I really love Big Fish. But there was a funny thing that I was watching it. I watched it as a movie. And as it got to the last parts, and spoilers for Big Fish, the whole idea of him kind of coming to accept his dad and telling him stories and really what is just kind of come to that realization of the picture and image that he had of his dad and the reality of his dad, that they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. That he kind of had this mythos with the person, with all the humanity, with all the mistakes, and you can still love him for it. Mm-hmm. And it was like the wrapping up of that movie when he's telling the story to his dad that I had this click in my head. Holy shit, this is my dad. And I couldn't stop crying. Like, the entire time, I just started thinking about the stories my dad tells me. He's a storyteller. He would tell about these, all these sky-high, weird-ass stories that didn't seem real, but I realized at the point it didn't matter. These are memories I'd had with my father. Mm-hmm. And it's just... Oh, fuck, man. Every time I watch that movie, it hits me now, but now it's from the beginning of the movie. I realize my dad, I can't stop thinking about him. I showed it to my mom once, and my mom was crying. And I actually haven't showed it to my dad. I need to show it to my dad. But yeah, that movie hit me like a freaking freight train.
I mean, I could see... That would be a good movie to show your dad, especially because of what it means to you.
Yeah. When I'm way past quarantine, it'll definitely be on the top of my list.
Yeah, because you definitely don't want to take your sick ass to your parents.
Fuck no.
All right, so for this week's pod question, it's kind of going to be simple. We know that we got the reveal event for the PS4, or PS5, sorry. We know the reveal event for the next box is coming up shortly. So it's basically simple. Are you going to buy a system on launch day?
Okay, that's simple. I like it.
So let us know your answers at battenhammerjimmo.com, battenhammer on Twitter. Spreak and Zinkeek on Facebook. You can reach me. I'm at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Crane Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Tuesday mornings.
All right, so now we're going to... Since both of us have played and beat The Last of Us Part 2, we're going to get into a complete review and spoiler talk on The Last of Us Part 2.
So I have a challenge for you, Raider.
Okay.
Oh, as I give your secret identity. Ooh. So this sounds like hot trash, probably. Do you want to save like the full in-depth talk when it doesn't sound like hot trash?
I mean, we can.
I was thinking we can kind of just talk about it less spoiler. I would like to talk about it where I can't hear myself and I keep tripping around words.
Yeah, I know we can totally, we can come back to it at a later stage when we're in front of each other and not delayed or anything. I can do that, but I can definitely, I can still talk about it. I can talk about it a lot. I can talk about it in depth, but...
I really want to talk about this with you. You have no idea.
So, all right, so we'll talk about it. We'll do a Cliff Notes. I was...
Spoiler or not spoiler?
We'll do not spoiler here.
Okay.
So I had let... Sounds weird, but I had let my wife play the game first, even before I had played it. She got to experience the game first, so she is, you know, playing the entire game. She got to beat it before I did. I don't know why I'm nice like that, but I am.
You're a loving husband.
So I let her start the game and play the game before I did. So she got to experience it first, and, you know, as I'm playing it, she's in the room with me watching me play it. So I'm like, well, obviously she really liked this game if she's watching me just play this game. After I beat the game, I went and watched and read some of the alt-right reviews to find out why they were so against this game. Because if you're unaware, there was basically review bombing of this game where people were reviewing it on Metacritic and were giving it like 1 star even before the game came out.
Yeah.
Before even playing the game, they were already reviewing it. So I was like, okay, I want to see why they're giving this game these reviews. And like the reasons they gave don't exist without giving away too much. And so that kind of annoys me of they found things wrong with the game that aren't even in the game. It's kind of like where the people that still hold on to like Battlefront 2's a horrible game because of all the microtransactions, and it's like there are no microtransactions in the game. Like, there never were microtransactions in the game. They were in basically the beta, and before the game got released, people threw a hissy fit and they were like, maybe we should take this out. So they took it out.
Yeah.
There's kind of the same thing here where people were very angry over stuff that was in the game that wasn't in the game, or at least wasn't in the game to the extent and the content that they saw it. But this one follows, none of this is spoiler stuff, but this is following Ellie. This is Ellie's story, where you get to play Ellie for the majority of the game. Just like the first one, you had to play as Joel for the majority of the game. And there were a few parts where you didn't get to play as Joel, but for the most part, you're playing as Joel. This one is, for the most part, you're playing as Ellie. This is a game that I didn't want, because I love The Last of Us, and I didn't want a part two. I was like, you guys don't need to, you don't need to give me more. You've given me enough. You've given them everything. Not yet. But, I loved this game, and especially the, one thing that we've been talking about are the clickers are so much more difficult this time around than the first time.
I would definitely agree.
They turn around quicker. They spot you quicker. The AI in general for both of the clickers and the humans is vastly improved, where, like, I'm getting so angry at these guys for being so fucking smart. Like, give me a chance, people. That's all I'm going to give on this without getting into any spoiler stuff. But I love this game. I still like the first one more, but this one's still really good. Like, if I was giving it a score, I'd probably give it a 9 out of 10.
That's still pretty high on the radio scale, or that scale. Fuck, I'm terrible at this.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, by now, everybody knows who we are. I love this game. There's a lot of character development, and again, without getting into too much, there's a lot of kind of stuff going on. All right, what did you think?
So, not bearing the lead, I love this game, but I also fucking hated this game. It is probably one of the most exhausting games I've played.
Yeah.
Including the first game. I would put it on equal terms with the first game because it's completely different.
Oh, yeah.
But also very familiar. Mm-hmm. There's still... I have this... I'm going back and I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn. And it is so jarring to see how lifelike the characters in Last of Us are. Mm-hmm. Compared to any other game.
Oh, yeah.
And Horizon Zero Dawn is fucking gorgeous.
I love Horizon.
But the character animations are shit. And they really have life.
Yeah.
They're not lifeless, but they're on a completely different scale until you watch the characters literally act. And that's... Goddamn, man, this game could not leave my mind until I beat it.
Really high praise. Uh-oh. We're having issues.
Hold on a second.
Oh, there we go. I think we're back.
Yep.
Okay. I think it was my fault. I think I made the phone call asleep for a second.
It's okay.
We found out the problem with Zencastr. If you decide to use Zencastr, don't let your phone fall asleep on it.
Yeah, if you use it on the PC, I think it's a better experience.
Yeah, I imagine it is, but we're cheap. I don't have a PC.
Yeah, exactly. But I loved it. The thing that I know you and I both talked about, but you didn't mention, which I'm surprised, and not spoilish, something that I absolutely fell in love with is how the game opens up before it opens up. All of the accessibility features. Oh, goddamn.
Dude. There's like 60 different options for colorblind and abilities for like hands and vision and hearing. I mean, it is so exhaustive to where it's like, we want you to play this game. We're gonna...
And I want this to be almost a, like, I know it can't be maybe, but I want this to be like a company, like a standard for an industry standard.
I think at some point it will be an industry standard. where they're like, hey, we have other players that really want to play this game. Let's figure out a way to make sure that everybody can experience this game. But yeah, I actually forgot about how exhaustive the options are. But that was one of the first things I noticed. It's like, okay, here's some options. And you're like, well, cool, every game has some options. And this is like, no.
It's like, no. Nah, bro. Even to the point with the difficulty scaling, that the fact that you can say, like, it's not just hard, medium, light, casual, whatever. They even have points where you can adjust, do, like, micro-adjustments, which I took advantage of.
Like, if you didn't want to do some of the puzzles, you could skip puzzles.
Yep.
If you didn't want to, there's parts where you can not click the buttons, but just hold the buttons down.
Yeah. And there was also parts where if you wanted, for me, like I wanted my AI companion or companions to be like a little more aggressive.
Oh, okay.
But I still wanted to play normal. And then I also hated how rare items were. So I made items a little more common. But I didn't change anything else because I wanted the enemies still to be difficult and I didn't want anything else to change. You can tweak it that way, and I freaking love that.
This game I played on normal, which the first time for a game I kind of, if I want to experience the story on it, I'll play it on normal. The next time I go through, like, you know, with Last of Us Part 1, I would go through on grounded mode, which is, there's hardly any supplies, the AI is real difficult, all that jazz. And, like, even on normal, this game was hard.
Yeah. I died so much.
Yeah, but I also didn't feel like it was unnecessarily hard.
Yeah.
Like, I felt it was a good challenge.
It was like God of War?
God of War.
Like, it taught you things?
Yeah, God of War is a real good challenge until you get to the fucking Valkyries.
Fuck the Valkyrie. But yeah, I love this game. And I can't, like, I heard a couple spoiler casts, ones with had Neil Druckmann, who played Joel and who played Ellie?
Troy Baker.
And, yes.
Ashley Johnson.
And just hearing them talk about it, it made me love it even more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you more about it in spoilers-wise, because I'm really curious to know, but I definitely don't want it to be hot garbage, because it's so distracting, and I really just want to be able to hear what you say and be able to bounce off that.
Right, no, I get you. No, we'll do a spoiler-filled review. Hopefully next week we should be back to our normal in-person shows. So,
though I'm gonna tinker with Zencastr more because I want to have an option.
No, I get it. Yeah, there are times where having an option is fine, and again, I really need to get me a PC. And right now, because I'm so essential, like I'm working a ton of hours, so I may just save some cash and buy a PC.
Get an essential PC.
Yeah, get an essential PC that'll play like one game because that's all I play.
That's the spirit. Go play this game.
Oh, definitely play this game. This game is amazing, and the alt-right trolls, especially a lot of the problems they have, don't exist in this game. And that's what really bothers me, is they were talking about things that aren't in this game. And we'll talk about that more, hopefully, next week when we get to the spoiler stuff, of like, they were angry over a game of parts of a game that aren't even in the game.
I haven't read them, so I'll maybe do a little bit of angry research.
Yeah, you could. We'll definitely talk about it next week.
Well, thanks for taking some time to record with me, buddy.
No,
I miss you.
Not a problem. It was great to get the episode in. You were like, hey, do you want to get together? And I was like, I don't know if I feel fully comfortable doing it in person yet. And you're like, well, let's see if we can figure out how to do it online. I was like, well, last time we tried that shit.
And it'll keep being interesting, right?
Yeah, but it worked. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 361 of Sprinkles and Geek. So, Sprinkles and Geek, I'm back.
And I'm here.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.